Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and our commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, February 27th, 2014. And a lot of things to talk about today. We're going to talk just a little bit about the Romans, Europe, Rome, going belly up. I doubt that'll happen, but they're going down to the wire. We're going to be talking a little bit about Yellen and her little speech today. And we have Wendy Wilson joining us for the first segment of the program today. But first, let's go ahead and get right to the precious metals today. Gold was, hanging out about 1331 on the day, up 70. We had a high of 1337 and a low of 1326. So we're just sort of right in the middle at 1331. Yet silver up again, basically unchanged, up three at 2134. Platinum was up 25, the big player of the day at 1457. Palladium was up $8 at 745. The USDX today, the dollar was trading lower at 0.11 at 80.30. And crude oil was, just touched a little bit to the downside, 0.33 at 102.26. And the paper markets today, the S&P ended the day, record high closing. Time to get out, girls and boys. You have the S&P up 9 at 1854. It hit a top on December 31st and finally closing over at a new record high. The Dow was up 74 points today at 16,272. Pre-market trading on all the markets were down significantly. Germany got whacked. It was down about, I think if I remember correctly, about 1.5%. The other European markets didn't get hit as bad as Germany. But the Dow did a turnaround. It was down 75 points before markets open, and she turned around up 74 at 16,272. NASDAQ up 26 at 43.18, and the 10-year yield 0.03 at 2.64%. gives you folks just another opportunity to go out there and buy a house. And housing market, everything is crazy. They had this housing guru on CNBC yesterday, and she says, yeah, I read the numbers about the new housing numbers that was released yesterday, and she says our records don't show that at all. Our numbers don't show that at all. Shows that January was basically flat, you know, and here's a high-powered realtor out of New York, and, you know, she doesn't even believe Washington's numbers. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. People don't believe what Washington tells us. That's un-American. They're not going to put up with that in the camps, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. When they put you all in the camps, yeah, that'll be you try to deny what the government is telling you. Mm-mm. That won't work out there.
Hey, we got Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon from Apothecary Herbs. I believe she is with us. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Wendy.
Great to have you here.
Thank you. You sound so perky today.
It's Thursday.
Yay.
One more day.
One more day. Well we're going to be talking about how Americans can save billions on weight loss. That's the topic for the health segment today.
Okay.
Excuse me, right now.
Does that mean they just don't buy diets anymore? They don't buy diet formulas and pills and they just gain weight?
Actually, a little of both. Actually, you know, it spring's around the corner, so people are thinking about dieting, losing weight. And people are dieting all the time. About 25% of the men diet and 45% of the women are diet. And they're buying gym memberships and exercise videos and equipment and expensive food plans. And it all adds up to about $40 billion that we spend each year on that. So being overweight or obese is actually becoming a little bit commonplace despite all that spending. And children think it's kind of normal for adults to weigh 200 pounds or more. That's pretty bad. And so children, Al, Melody, are, you know, they mimic what their parents do. They eat what their parents eat and so forth. So children are now more overweight and more at risk of heart disease, kidney disease, hypertension, diabetes, cancer. And they're anticipated and expected by the health authorities to die much earlier than their parents. So there's got to be a safer way to get in shape, drop that weight, and extend our longevity. So that's what we're going to explore for the few minutes that we have today.
But does it involve exercise?
Yes, it does, Al.
We actually have to get up off the couch.
We're going to tackle the biggest hurdle first, getting regular exercise, okay? So the point is you're going to make it part of your lifestyle. So it's just going to be one of those things you do, like brushing your teeth. And it doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to sign up for a gym. There are lots of inexpensive yet effective little exercise videos that range in various levels of fitness, you know, depending on your skill level and your health level. They can start as little as $20 that you can get. You do your homework online, you can get some of those things. And even in your stores, Walmart, Target, they all have them. So the routine, if you're looking for exercise, it should move your blood, you know, it should tone your muscle for strength, and it should increase your stamina. And at the end of your exercise session, make sure you get some stretching. The stretching helps to avoid injury and lessens the impact on joints. So a minimum of about 30 minutes, Al, going to be required. And after you reach your weight loss goals, then you can do like a 10-minute maintenance, especially if you're short on time. So that sounds pretty cool, doesn't it?
10 minutes a day?
Yeah, once you reach your weight loss, you know, goal, then a lot of these exercise videos have the short version where you got 10, 15 minutes. You have one of those days where your schedule's hectic. So they build those into those type of programs so that you can use a maintenance video like that. So it's really neat. And according
to the way
fitness,
I look at it, Wendy, is if I actually have to exercise on a regular job or a regular basis, I might just as well go out and get a regular job.
Well, not really, according to
something like that, and then I get paid to exercise.
Well, according to fitness expert and creator of Built Lean, his name's Mark Perry, he says people spend so much time and energy focusing on professional and financial pursuits that they're overlooking the importance of their physical well-being and neglect that, and that can cause some health-related and stress problems down the road. So you want to – and exercise releases a lot of stress. So yeah. When it comes to exercise, you're going to actually need to be your own motivational speaker. You're going to have to talk yourself into doing it, okay?
Yeah, that's a hard thing. That is the difficult thing, is to find the discipline. And I think it's harder to find that discipline as you get older. When I was young, it was not a problem. I mean, you're running around and jumping and whatever. I don't know. I think I had exercise without trying to have exercise. But now, as a senior citizen, I understand the theory of exercise, but it's hard to get around to doing it.
Well, you know, just walking. Yeah, just look at that. Walking around the mall, especially in the colder months, you know, there's lots of exercise in that. So you don't have to actually, you know, be a weightlifter. There's lots of ways to exercise. Plus, I'm saying there's videos out there that will help even senior citizens with, you know, slow motion stretching and things like that. Very, very beneficial. So, and, you know, Art Williams said this. He says, I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. I'm telling you it's going to be worth it. And it is.
Yeah,
it's going to be worth it.
I agree with that. When you are exercising, you always feel better. You become healthier and the rest of that. And then for some reason, though, you know, there comes a day when all of a sudden you decide, I'm not going to exercise today. And next thing you know, it turns into a couple of weeks you haven't exercised, or at least that's the way it is for me. And then you get back and you start up again. But I go into these periods where I just don't feel like doing it today, and I just don't seem to get to it, and so on. Mm-hmm. So we need to do some exercise for sure, but we also need to work on the discipline, that motivation. You've got to be your own motivational speaker. That's what you're
yep.
saying here, what you've
yeah.
said. And
well, it all starts up in the noodle, the brain. You have to decide. You know, even Mark Twain said the secret of getting ahead is getting started. And it starts in your mind. You know, you just got to, you know, make sure you do it. But the next thing is diet. Of course, you know, I don't like the word diet. That's such a big turnoff. And I don't diet. I admit I don't. I adjust lifestyle. That's what I do. So lifestyle, if you adjust lifestyle, that's more stable. It's more permanent. And there's a certain level of success built into that. So if you can't resist potato chips, for instance, just don't let them in the house, okay? Replace that tempting food with a tastier, healthier substitute, and that's going to increase your...
Like ice cream. Ice cream is better for you than potato chips.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, take Oreo cookies and substitute it with diet cookies that have artificial sweeteners. That's not what I'm saying. Set your limits. Stick to them. This is going to empower you to reach your goal, and that's empowering in itself. And you'll not only just drop a few dress sizes or pant sizes, you're going to improve your overall health, and you're going to improve your standard of living, basically, health-wise. So,
have you ever tried, what about exercise machines?
Yeah, I mean,
if
you want to use
them in general?
Yeah, exercise machines are fine, especially low impact for the joints as we get older. That's instead of jogging, you want to maybe use the treadmill and not do that. But certainly, you don't have to have machines. You just need to, you know, put on your sneakers and walk outside, basically, and do some stretching. Those are low impact for as we get older. And there's this old proverb that says, to lengthen your life, shorten your meals. So let's not overeat. And we're going to talk about a few herbs that are going to help with that, you know, because you were talking about Rome earlier, Melody, and nobody like the ancient Romans and Greeks, they knew about what herbs to use to avoid gluttony, obesity, and to improve digestion. So they used a lot of herbs, and they knew this too, that if the liver was sick, you wouldn't be able to lose weight, because when the liver is fatty and sick, it stores more fat, and it's going to sabotage your weight loss goal.
Why do you think that is?
Yeah, so you may want to, you know, perk up your liver with a little milk thistle herb, which has the antioxidant silymarin, which helps the liver regenerate and heal those cells. So that's a good thing. And for digestion and for proper metabolism, a lot of times the ancients would use fennel seed, peppermint, cayenne, and ginger, because not only were these herbs flavoring their entrees, it was also there to prevent disease. For instance, yeah. in Rome, they would use fennel to flavor saltwater fish, but it also improved digestion. It whitened the flesh of the fish, and it tenderized it, and it removed the fishy smell. So it had a multi-purpose, the fennel. Yeah. Now, I want to touch on fennel a little bit more because it is one of my favorite herbs for digestion. And it's native to Italy. It's cultivated everywhere now. It's been used for things like excessive gas and bloating, digestive issues. Mothers will even use a little fennel for colicky babies, and it's very effective. So fennel is real high in nutrition, Al, Melody, has thiamine, selenium, protein, phosphorus, magnesium, and calcium. It also has some healthy fat, which helps the metabolism remove unhealthy fats, and has more medicinal power than it's typically known for. So fennel has anti-inflammatory capabilities, antimicrobial, and antispasmodic, as well as diuretic effect. And here's the real kicker. If you're wanting to use it for success and lose weight, it suppresses your appetite so you won't overeat.
Is that right?
That's right.
How hard is it to use this on a daily basis, and what do you have that provides this?
Well, we use the fennel seed. The seeds of the fennel have more oils, more medicinal power, and so we make it into a tincture, which is a liquid, which is very easy to use and to adjust dose to suit your lifestyle. So you could use it on a daily basis. It doesn't have any toxicity effect. You can't overdose on it. You can put it in juice or water. You won't even know it's there. And the Puritans, what they would do is they would kind of put fennel seeds in their mouth and kind of just, you know, crush them and just leave them in their mouth because it helped them when they were fasting for religious reasons. They didn't feel hungry.
You know, I have people at the church I go to, and the minister, for example, he's done a 40-day fast a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And he just completed one just lately. He started at the first of the year, and he fasts. And it's not a pure fast exactly. I mean, he doesn't take any meat. He doesn't take any carbohydrates during the 40 days. He does say take some vegetables and fruit. And I don't know, he swears by it, and he seems to be, and it's caught on in the church. A lot of people are doing it. Mm-hmm. And we may turn it into a Weight Watchers church instead of a spiritual church. Hard to say, but it is working, and people are losing weight. And
the ancients would fast. It was their mini cleanse. Okay, it gave all the organs of the body a little vacation, and so it is a very basic and natural way to do a cleanse of the system to get more impurities out, and that's real important for the metabolism and for energy level and for things like that. So, but if you're going to use fennel, the seed is what I recommend, and if you're using it whole seed, you want to keep it whole until you're ready to use it. So if you grind it, it releases the oils, and you want to use it as soon as you can before you lose the oils, they evaporate, and before they go rancid. So that's why I like the tinctures, Melanie, because they're perfectly preserved, and they have a 10-year shelf life. And so you can use that fennel seed tincture anytime you want. And we have that at Apothecary Herbs if anybody's interested. We also small bottle starts around $20, and you can get the larger bottles. They have a 20% discount built into them. So if you're using it long-term, I would get the 2 or the 4-ounce size, and you could just put it in your cabinet. No need to refrigerate it. And you can put a bottle of it in your desk at work and just, you know, take a few drops under the tongue, you know, follow with some water, and it'll just get rid of that craving to munch out, you know, when everybody's crunching on chips next door. So you could tap into fennel seed and empower your weight loss this year.
All right. We'll be looking for fennel seed. Why don't you give folks some contact information, Wendy?
Absolutely. They can reach us at Apothecary Herbs. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Or they can visit our website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Thanks so much, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right, Wendy.
Thanks, Wendy.
Wendy will be back next Thursday. Melody and I will be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
We got some great prices here at Discount Gold and Silver. Have a new client. One of our new clients came from the internet. We do very little advertising on the internet. We have the website and the radio programs, of course. And he said to me, Al, he said, when I buy anything online, what I do is I'll put what I'm looking for and the word scam after it. He says, you're the only company that came up that didn't have anything after it's your name. He says that you didn't have any complaints. He says you didn't have any negative reviews. He says, you're the only one. And he says, so that's why I'm calling you. And I says, well, thank you very much. We work very hard in order to keep a clean record. We build relationships, and because we work for referrals, we work very hard to work with families, and we want to have a long-time relationship. There will be a day when you sell your gold, and who are you going to send it to? Somebody who's promised you that if you buy the coins from them, they're not going to charge you anything when you go to sell them? I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, what business does something for nothing? And particularly those who charge you high commissions. I mean, how do you know what they're charging you? How do you know what the true bid price would be? You don't. So I like that, and I appreciate that. And I thought I would share it with you and the
listeners. No, that's remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
That's remarkable, really.
And
who would have thought to do that, to run that sort of a internet search?
People don't, because you see these companies online, and of course we're finding out, Tolving, oh my gosh, you know, 3 years ago, 5 years, well, probably 5 years ago, oh, Tolving this, Tolving that, Tolving this. It was just driving me insane. But the whole industry knew that you can't sell product as low as he was selling it and not get into some sort of trouble. We knew that. You tell people this, but does anybody ever pay any attention? Yeah, some do, but certainly with all the complaints that he has, a lot of people didn't, and they were there just to save a buck or two. So
it's like Bitcoin in some regards.
But my point was, people don't look for the complaints because they look big on the internet. They have all this product listed. Yeah. They have all the bells and whistles on their website. And, you know, it's sort of like if you walked into a coin dealer on the corner of your hometown and, you know, he had all the bells and whistles, you'd feel comfortable. And it's the same way with the internet. And that's not necessarily the case. A lot of these big online dealers that sell online look at the fine print and look at some of the complaints, the quality of the product. You don't get what you see in the pictures. And it is kind of hard to, you know, show each coin as you're going to send out. But people don't see this. People don't understand this. And the bigger they are, the better they feel. And that's not the case.
True. Mm-hmm. It's true. It's human nature. And, you know, I don't know. It is just human nature. Because large and expensive creates a presumption of that you've been in business and treating people fairly for a considerable period of time. Otherwise, you wouldn't be that big. You wouldn't be that apparently prosperous. It becomes a kind of subjective evidence that people are doing the right thing and they're ethical and so on, but it's not necessarily true, and frequently it's not true. The way you get to be big for a lot of institutions is you cut corners. You have to be sophisticated in the way you go about it. But you look at J.P. Morgan Chase, for example, or any of the big Wall Street institutions. They are big, and they've got plenty of mahogany and marble and, you know, expensive desks and tables and conference rooms and the rest of that. And how much of that do you think was achieved with a high sense of ethics? And the answer is probably not all that much. You know, the truth of the matter is you start looking at the big operators, and the ones that are biggest are perhaps the ones that are closest to skirting the law. And maybe they don't quite skirt it, but they know exactly where the line is, and they get right up to it. And sometimes they cross that line, on top of which, and however, if you can buy your congressman, buy enough congressmen and senators, you can become too big to fail. And then you can do all kinds of crazy things, and knowing that the government is still going to back you up and they won't let you fail. You don't have to be reasonable. You don't have to be prudent. You can take more risk, and government will insure you. In the end, however, if you're not going to be reasonable, prudent, and ethical, the day is going to come, in my opinion, when you're going to pay a price for it. And the entire business may be forfeit. So we'll watch and see.
There will be a price to pay.
Well,
the
we
day
so.
Of judgment comes to each and every one of us. And people get to decide on which way they go. And, you know, they get to explain their lives. Anyway, speaking of explaining, the number of people applying applying for unemployment benefits rose last week to match the highest level of 2014. And, of course, that is going to suggest that slowing the progress in a recovery in the U.S. labor markets. The initial jobless claims climbed 14,000 to a seasonally adjusted 348,000. And, of course, that was in the week ending February 22nd. And that was said today. So, again, it's going to be difficult because you're going to get all the severe winter stuff. And they're going to blame everything on severe winter. So my question is,
when you mean they're not going to blame Bush anymore?
No.
He's been replaced by a winter?
By winter. What's going to happen, though, when things, once the winter numbers are no longer apply and the numbers begin to reverse themselves, they're going to say what a great recovery we're having. But it only makes sense that if you're blaming the low numbers on the weather, once that weather is gone, then any increase would be due to weather also, good weather. It's not necessarily better economy. It's just that the weather has gone away and things came back to the same level before
everyone went to the beach. Instead of going to jobs, they went to the beach, and so they were fired.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes ridiculous blaming the weather. It's just absurd. But the thing about the unemployment benefits or the applications for unemployment benefits is that they roughly correspond to how many layoffs there have been. The people that are going in this week to apply for unemployment benefits are by and large the people who got laid off last week. And so when we see these numbers go up, they're not, you know, it gives you an idea, a rough idea of how many people were laid off in the previous week. And it gives you a rough idea whether employers are hiring, firing, what are they doing, laying people off. So larger numbers indicate that the larger applications for unemployment. This is obvious in a sense, but I'm not sure that everyone thinks about it and realizes it. But you know, when we see more applications for unemployment, it simply means that more employers are saying, sorry, we don't need much help, and that means they're not doing much business. And that's part of the significance. We only look at the one side of the coin. We tend to look at the one side of the coin. Oh, this guy doesn't have a job. Well, yeah. That's true, but the flip side is why doesn't he have a job, and it's because he was laid off. Why was he laid off? Because business is slowing down for his employer. So,
well, just to touch on this, on Rome is days away from bankruptcy. Aren't you glad things are getting better over there in Europe? But it says it's going to go bust for the first time since it was destroyed by Nero. The Italian Prime Minister Renzi came under pressure today after the city of Rome verged towards bankruptcy. And Parliament threw out a bill that would have injected fresh funding. The Rome mayor, he said that city services like public transport would come to a halt. And so there's this newly elected mayor faces a budget deficit of 816 million euros, which is about $1.1 billion in dollars.
What's the new mayor's name?
The new mayor's name is Marino.
Is that any relationship to Rahm Emanuel?
I don't think so.
I don't either, but they've got the same problem. Chicago's going broke and Rome is going broke, and who's going to save them?
But so they're certainly having their difficulties. And the whole point of this, you know, you don't hear a lot of you don't hear people talk about Europe anymore. You know, once in a while you hear folks, cite the unemployment in Spain and Greece, and that's about it. And you don't hear much about, you know, the other countries and the difficulties that they're having. Things are not improving.
Tells us what? It tells us that there's a kind of contagion. If they've only got one country that has a problem, you can blame it on the Greeks, or maybe you can blame it on the Spaniards. But when you've got Greece and Spain and Italy and France, you begin to see there's a kind of contagion taking place. You begin to see that there's something systemically wrong, It's not just one country. It's not just one government. There's something else, that there's a common denominator, and you can start searching for that common denominator. And you can also ask yourself whether this contagion is confined to Europe, or whether or not the problems that we see in Greece and Spain and France and Italy, are they going to ultimately have some impact on the United States? I'm not going to argue it would be a huge impact, but on the other hand, you know, hard to say where we are right now. We can't get accurate numbers. Are we in a house of cards? Are we caught in a field of dominoes? Where are we, Melody? Are things looking up, looking down, looking sideways? Where do you think we are right now?
Well, I, you know, as I mentioned, the real estate and everything else, that the numbers that, you know, are given to us certainly are not accurate. John Williams, as we mentioned many times on this program, has the most accurate numbers.
And his are substantially different from the government's in almost every regard. I don't know. I wonder if Williams has any calculations that are close to the same thing as the government's calculations. And I don't know if there are, but I doubt it. My guess is virtually every economic indicator he follows, when they're calculated the same way they were calculated, say, 20 years ago, they are substantially different from the numbers we get from government. Government has been constantly tinkering with the formula that they use to calculate unemployment and the formula that they use to calculate inflation. And by readjusting the formula, they can generate different results. Were John Williams calculating unemployment the same way we did 20 years ago, he comes in with about 9%. No, excuse me, not unemployment, that's inflation. His inflation is coming in 8-9%, and our government's talking about 2%. The difference is in the formulas. And Williams, if you know, I think it makes perfect sense to follow and trust the numbers you get from John Williams, and it is not necessarily advisable to follow and trust the numbers that you get from your government. On top of which, you've got people in the markets. They are technical analysts. They follow the prices are going up, they're going down. They watch the dips, they watch the peaks. They point out trends as if these are meaningful. And they would be if we were talking about a free market. They would be if we were talking about numbers that you could rely on. But when the government is cooking the books in the first place, what do technical indicators mean?
Are you asking me?
Well, anybody who wants to answer, I guess as long as you're there, you could answer if you want.
No, it's very difficult to make informed decisions on the information that is released. But, you know, folks stick to the fundamentals and really look to, I'm sure they, the GDP, the public out there, the generally dumb public out there doesn't, you know, see through the lines. They don't read between the lines. They don't come up with the, you know, perhaps, you know, I should read some other information and come to my own conclusion and so forth. But it is difficult.
But
and,
one thing that is fairly easy is this. Why is the government lying about the numbers? We can debate what the numbers are. All right. Maybe you believe in John Williams. Maybe you believe in the government. But I don't think many of us do. It's pretty much common knowledge that the numbers are not accurate. If that's the case, why does the government insist on feeding us inaccurate numbers? Why do they insist on lying to us? Why do they insist on misleading us? And the answer is because the government knows we're in some kind of trouble. The government doesn't want to admit it. They want to try to maintain public confidence, but in doing so, they lie to us. It's evidence that we're seeing a problem It's evidence that the government is seeing a problem, whether we see it or not. They see the problem. They feel compelled to lie about it. And that's, for me, that's a good motivation to protect yourself. Recognize we are vulnerable. It's time to protect yourself. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk, and I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. And the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. We have a caller, Jim, from West Virginia. What you got for us, Jim?
Oh, not much today. I've had a couple tirades about the stock market. Now, I never got really burned on the stock market, but boy, I worked hard on it and saw through the deception. This is a very important point, and I could kick myself for not making it before. The Dow Jones is a fabricated number. You're talking about funny numbers, okay, government numbers. But it's a chosen list that's selected, and I'm pretty sure that if you were to look at that list, you'd suddenly realize that they lean on these people. Okay, your stock price is getting up to a certain point. Don't split it. Keep the number high because we're going to put it on the Dow Jones. So, folks, the first thing you learn when you learn the stock market is ignore the Dow Jones.
And yet that's the one indicator.
Everyone follows, yep.
That everyone, even people who don't own stocks, they kind of pay attention to the Dow Jones. And I understand what you're talking about because they're in a regular state of dropping any of the stocks that are performing badly, they drop those and they replace them with other stocks that are new and performing well. So Dow Jones that we have today is not the same Dow Jones that we had 5 years ago or 10 years ago. It's a completely different, it's a significantly different collection of stocks, and they are only selected from the stocks that are winning. Right? They dump the losers and they keep on adding winners to it. And so
that's
it gives
exactly
you a false
it.
Impression.
It used to be we had the Dow Jones Industrials and the Dow Jones Transportation, blah, 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 yeah, yeah. But, folks, the Dow Jones is for public consumption. Almost all the mainstream media quotes it, so that should give you cause for suspicion,
mm-hmm.
unless you trust the mainstream media. But, yeah, I've missed that point, and I keep kicking myself for not making it. Folks, you do
now,
a wonderful job.
Don't hurt yourself. We don't want you to hurt yourself, Jim, so don't be kicking yourself. All right?
Okay.
All right.
God bless. Good,
thank you,
good
Jim.
Later.
Thanks, Jim.
Bye-bye. We got an article here. The yuan dislodges Swiss franc as seventh most used currency. This is from Reuters. They're talking about China's yuan surpassed the Swiss franc to become the seventh most used world payment currency in January. With a market share of 1.39%, the yuan remained one of the top 10 most used currencies. Now, 1.39% is not a lot. We're saying out of every $100 worth of goods that are transacted throughout the world, $1.39 out of every $100 is in Chinese yuan. That's not much. But on the other hand, it was the eighth most used currency in December. It's the seventh most used currency in January. All right, and in what, 3 years? Let me see where the number is down here. I've got it in the report. Over the last 3 years, the yuan, or renminbi, has overtaken 22 currencies. 3 years. They were, what, that would put them down in the 30 range. All right? They have risen in 3 years to become one of the top 10, and now they're number seven. We can anticipate that the Chinese yuan, at the rate it's moving, it's going to be something like the third most used currency in the world within 12 months. That's not unreasonable. I can't say it's going to happen, but it's entirely possible that it could happen, and even probable. And when we look at it, we see that the seventh most popular, the most used currency, the seventh, only consumes 1.39%. It tells us that most of the currencies don't really, even number two currency. What is the number two currency? UK, Singapore, United States is number one. Let me see.
Euro.
No, I don't. I'm in the wrong place. Well, but in any case, United States, euro is number two. Sterling, English, Japanese yen, Canadian dollar, Australian dollar. They are ahead of it right now. But the dollar is still primary currency. But 10 years ago, 14 years ago in particular, prior to 2000, the dollar was probably about 95% of all currency transactions took place with the dollar, and it might have been 99%. And right now, if I had to guess, and that's all it is, right now it's down to perhaps 80%. Just a guess. Don't know for sure. China is coming up, and the principal currency that's going down in the list will be the dollar, simply because the dollar has been so dominant since World War II. Up until 2000, for 55 years, the dollar ruled, and now it's sliding. And this is important because the only thing that gives the paper dollar value is the fact that it has been the petrocurrency, since 1971. The Nixon administration, we talk about it from time to time, the Nixon administration cut deals when we went completely off the gold standard in 1971. The Nixon administration cut deals with Saudi Arabia and later with OPEC, where Saudi Arabia and then OPEC agreed that they would only sell their crude oil for dollars, which means anyone who wanted to buy crude oil on the international market first had to have dollars. And it gave the dollar a value that was, in some regards, comparable to a dollar that was backed by gold. The dollar became implicitly backed by crude oil. If you wanted to buy crude oil, first you had to have some dollars. That was the deal. And as a result, there was a demand for dollars. And that created an illusion of value. The dollar was no longer could be redeemed with gold or silver, but it could be redeemed with crude oil. Saddam Hussein, of course, back about 2000, he said he was going to start selling his Iraqi crude for euros rather than dollars. And we invaded. And we had some cock and bull story about weapons of mass destruction, but I have no doubt the real reason we invaded Iraq was to protect the dollar. That was the reason. He had the audacity. If he got away with selling crude oil for euros, the value of the petrodollar would be damaged dramatically. And in fact, that's just what happened. It was 125 on the U.S. dollar index back around 2000, and it's 80 now. They lost a third of their value in the last 14 years. Well, it's stabilized for now, and not just stabilized. I believe it's being manipulated to hold it above 80 and up to 82. But if we mork, as the Chinese yuan rises, it will inevitably rise because the United States is losing more of its standing as world reserve currency.
Well, let me bring this in, Al, because today there is reports that China and India are significantly expanding imports of Iranian petroleum.
Yeah.
When the world powers had reached the nuclear deal with Iran, just 3 months ago, the U.S. officials had stressed that they weren't easing oil trade restrictions against Tehran. And here you have Chinese imports of Iranian crude oil. That has jumped nearly 30% since November, compared with the previous 6 months. And there are also reports Indian imports doubled in January. So here you have, you know, the U.S. has to decide whether to extend exemptions from the American penalties to the Chinese and Indian banks that continue to process Iranian oil transactions. Now, to receive this waiver, countries are supposed to be significantly reducing their Iranian crude imports. And so in the alternative, Chinese and Indian banks that keep processing Iranian oil transactions would be shut out of the U.S. economy. So if they're shut out of the U.S. economy, can you imagine what what it would happen to our economy and global economy? So, you know, you talk about their currency increasing, and we know Iran had begun to sell their oil in other currencies, and now you
even
have...
even for gold. They had a deal allegedly with India where India was paying for Iranian crude with gold.
So now here you have China and India that is basically just, you know, shunning the U.S. and their penalties and their restrictions for buying oil from Iran. It's like thumbing their nose.
Well, it may not only be thumbing their nose. It may be that Iranian crude, at least for a while, I don't know what the status is right now, I wonder what the price is compared to the world price for crude oil. Insofar as there have been restrictions on that tried to inhibit countries from purchasing Iranian crude oil, it means in order to cut a deal, Iran may have had to drop the price of its crude oil significantly below the world benchmark. If it's going for $102 per barrel right now in New York, who knows? Maybe I'm only speculating here, but they may have been selling Iranian crude for $90 a barrel. It becomes precisely because there was a kind of blockade around Iran to at least slow Iranian sales. It forces Iran to make deals that are too good to pass up. And we thereby force, by maintaining the embargo, or some semblance of it, on Iranian crude, Iran then says, we got to sell this stuff cheap, and China and India looks at it and says, such a deal. The point I'm trying to make is, if these, and I don't know the Iranian, I don't know the price of Iranian crude, but if Iran is making these deals, special deals, low prices, because the United States has tried to restrict the sale, then the United States itself, by trying to restrict Iranian crude, the sale of Iranian crude, has actually indirectly caused China and India to buy Iranian crude. You see my point, Nolody?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So it's one of those ironies. It's, you got a balloon, you have an economy, it's like a balloon, a global economy. You squeeze it someplace, it bulges someplace else.
But what
you can't just squeeze it and shut it down. You squeeze it here, it bulges someplace else. How do you control that? I don't think you can.
But what it also tells us, Al, is it shows that the U.S. no longer has the control, the respect, the power to make countries do what they dictate. They can no longer dictate to countries like China and India. Why? Well, to China, because China is becoming bigger than we are.
Yeah.
I mean, this is another sign that the U.S. is losing its status in the world, and that affects our currency. It affects the ties of the dollar being the world reserve currency. So it's just another step in the wrong direction for our currency, and another sign that people need to start protecting what they have, because those dollars that they're holding in the banks, well, they know what's going to happen to them.
Well, they know. What we don't know is when. There's the problem.
And every day we get closer.
Yeah, we get closer, but we don't know, is it going to happen next month or next year or 3 years from now? Odds are it's much closer than 3 years. It could go that long. I don't know. No one really knows, but it could happen as early as next month. We could see something happen. And I'm not predicting that it will, but the problem is it's like preventative maintenance for an automobile. It's like changing the oil on a regular basis. Make sure the tires are properly inflated. If you're habitual about this, you do it all the time, the engine will run forever practically. Keep changing that oil every 3,000-4,000 miles. That engine will run and run and run. But people don't want to do it. We don't want to do that preventive maintenance. We can stretch it out another month or two or 10 before we have to change the oil. And in the end, it costs you. It shortens the life of that engine. It's hard to get past that, just the mindset of people. But we encourage people, try to show them reasons why they should try to prepare. They need to do a little preventive maintenance. It's like changing the oil on your car. Change your currency. Put your wealth into something that will survive. The same way they found $10 million worth of gold. It was worth about, what, $27,000 when it was buried? And
yes.
Today it's worth $10
million. Plus.
Gold works. Gold lasts. The rest of it is an illusion. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.